I want to just briefly mention our dear sister Maureen, and all of the praise leaders, actually. Before they prepare the songs for every week, they actually, we communicate with one another. I let them know what the sermon is going to be, what I'm going to be preaching on. And so I let Maureen know earlier this week what I was going to be preaching on. But then as I was working on my sermon throughout the week, I wasn't at peace with it. In fact, up until yesterday, I was working on it, and I wasn't at peace with it. I didn't feel like that was what God wanted me to bring to you this morning. And so I ended up changing it. I'm sorry, Maureen. But she actually put up some verses from the original passage, which I'm very grateful for. But I actually want to talk to you guys today about what it means to have new life in Christ. And I think the reason the Lord wanted me to do this was because this coming Wednesday, I believe it's March 6th, it begins what is called the season of Lent. And in the Christian tradition, in the church, the season of Lent is a period of 40 days that lead up to Easter. You don't count the Sundays. So it's 40 days that lead up to Easter. And this time of Lent is to help us as believers, as the church, to prepare for Easter, to prepare for the death and for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so today's message is going to come from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to open them up. It will also be projected here on the screen. Second Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 16. Hear the word of the Lord. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would speak to us from your word, that you would anoint my lips, that the words that I say would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know about many of you, but there's a lot of times in my life when I just feel stuck, when I feel stuck in just old ways of thinking, when I just like something, I want it to stay that way forever. And so one of the things that I really liked to do when I was growing up was playing with Legos. But I wasn't a very creative kid with my Legos, so basically I would just get the sets and I would build them according to the instructions and I would just leave it. Like, I never took them apart, I never experimented with them, I would just build according to the instructions and just leave it there. It was really nice to look at, could play around with them, but all the pieces had to go back where they belonged at the end. And that's how I played with my Legos. My nephew, on the other hand, he is someone who, when he was younger, didn't really care about how the models were supposed to be. So when I was at university and he was growing up, he eventually found his way to my Lego collection. And I came home one time on break, and all my Legos were taken apart. hundreds of pieces, like, couldn't even recognize them anymore. And I was originally really upset. I was like, oh my gosh, all my Legos. And I really wanted to put them all back together again. But then I started playing with him, and it was amazing to watch how he played with Legos, because whatever it was that he made, it was either an airplane or a car or a train, and his imagination was just running wild. And so the more I played with him, I kind of discovered this new world of fun and freedom. It wasn't just this building that was there. But now my building had suddenly turned into a rocket ship. So I had like held on to this certain way of thinking about Legos that kind of prevented me from seeing this other side. Well, in today's passage, we get to this part of the letter that Paul is writing to a church, to the Corinthian church. And he's telling them to stop thinking in their old way, especially because now they have become a new creation, especially now that they've been given new life. And he's saying that if you keep this old way of thinking, you're going to miss out on what the new life offers. So the first point that he makes to the Corinthian church is that God gives us new life, and this new life occurs through reconciliation. It's a big word. So if you don't know what reconciliation means, it basically means to repair a broken relationship. So relationships are broken when, you know, someone feels hurt by somebody else, when someone feels wronged, like somebody did something against you. You kind of, that relationship breaks. To reconcile is to repair that relationship. It's to restore the brokenness. And usually, it's the person that did wrong that's supposed to be the first one to apologize. They're supposed to take that step of reconciliation. And I know I've been hurt before. I know that all of you have been hurt before. It's a result of the brokenness of this world. It's a result of sin. Ruby and I, even though we are married now, we still get into arguments where, you know, our relationship gets temporarily broken. It, like, sometimes we just have to take space from one another. And it used to be really hard for me whenever I fought with Ruby to apologize. I just felt like, she doesn't understand. She doesn't understand what I'm feeling. And she felt the same way whenever she was fighting with me. It was like, Daniel, so such a feeler, not a thinker, right? But when the first person extends the apology, when we apologize for saying sorry, I was wrong. We can reconcile. We fix that broken relationship. The broken relationship that Paul is talking about here is the broken relationship between all of humanity and God. All of humanity has sinned against God. We have committed wrong, we have disobeyed him, and we've hurt God. And now it would be expected that we should be the ones to take that first step. We should be the ones who come to God and say, God, I'm sorry, I sinned. Would you forgive me, and would you restore our relationship? But that's not how it happens. We see in this passage that in verses 18 and 19 that it was from God, through Christ, who reconciles the world to himself. God takes the initiative. In Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says that God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, while we were still in this broken relationship with God, Christ died for us. See, we were living in sin long before we knew it. And the Corinthian church they're kind of in that situation where they're not necessarily recognizing that by their old way of thinking, they're living in sin. And here's how it can happen. Even today, we can look at things and think, oh, you know, that's normal. That's part of the everyday culture. It's not sin. And the example that I thought of was children that argue and fight with their parents. It's become kind of expected for you as a child to disagree with your parents. It's normal. It's some people even say, yeah, you know, that you're an independent child. You're fighting with your parents. Good for you. But the Bible, it doesn't teach us to fight with our parents. Like, the kids that have grown up in the church, you know what the Bible teaches you. It tells you, you know, honor your parents. It tells you, obey your parents. And of course, that doesn't give parents this, like, wonderful excuse of just telling your child to do whatever and then being like, oh, the Bible said so, right? You have to obey me. But that's not how it works either. But as children towards our parents, do we see whenever we argue with them, whenever we are fighting with them, when we're mad at them, do we see that as sin? Or do we see it as, this is an expression of my independence. It's culturally valued. It's a sin, and the Bible is very clear about that. When we are willfully disobedient to our parents, when we are sinning against them by disobeying them, by dishonoring them, it's a sin. So that needs to be changed. But very much like our parents often forgive us and they don't hold those arguments against us, God also doesn't count our sins against him. Right? Once we apologize to our parents about the fight, usually the relationship gets restored. And in the same way, God does not count our trespasses against us. Now, the word trespass is slightly different from the word for sin. If you've ever walked by a house with, like, a fence, they may have a sign in the front of it that says, no trespassing, right? Basically, if you will purposefully walk onto that property, you know you're doing something wrong. You know that there was a sign that said no trespassing, but you did it anyway. And that's kind of the point that this verse is making here, is that God not only forgives us for the sins that we may not have been aware of. It's like, oh, I didn't know that, for example, stealing was wrong, right? Let's just pretend I didn't know that stealing was wrong, so I did it. Oh, I'm sorry, God. We could expect forgiveness for that. But what if we did something that we knew was wrong, right? Like, God clearly said, don't murder anybody, and we go out and we kill somebody. Right? God doesn't even count that against us if we are truly repentant. Like, his act of reconciliation is so enormous that it covers all of the sins. But it doesn't mean that he forgets our sin. He forgives, for sure. But he doesn't necessarily, but he doesn't forget. And how this is shown is that even though Jesus died on the cross, we know as Christians, as believers, that Jesus' death on the cross is what forgives us from our sins. It washes our sins away. But if you know the gospel story, if you know when Jesus rose again from the dead, he still bore the marks in his hands. He still bore the mark on his side. One of his disciples was actually able to stick his hand into the wounds. Jesus is in heaven now. I'm not entirely sure if he still bears the marks, but there's a good possibility that he does. Because even though our sins have been forgiven, God hasn't forgotten them. The marks on Jesus' hands are still there. And it should be a reminder to us that it doesn't mean we don't get like a free pass to continue sinning. God has forgiven us, but the sins that we have committed are not counted against us, but we have committed them. And if we really think of the sacrifice that Jesus made, how can we continue to live like that? How can we continue to take God's precious gift and throw it back at him and say, you know, I don't want this forgiveness. I'm going to just continue living the way that I used to in my life of sin. God doesn't want that for us either. He doesn't want us to continue living a life of sin, even though he will constantly forgive us if we sin. But he wants so much more. He wants to transform us, and he does so in Christ. We read in our passage in verse 17 that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. And then in verse 15, it says that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So when we hear that we are a new creation in Christ, that's to tell us that our old way of sinning, our old way of sinful thinking, it's gone. We shouldn't continue living like that anymore. But it's hard to let go sometimes. For me, one of my great struggles is road rage. Whenever I get into a car and I'm driving along on the road and somebody cuts me off or things like that, I get really angry, and I try to get justice for myself by getting back at them, because that's my understanding of justice, which is not right. But even though I'm born again, I'm a new creation in Christ, I still have that old way of thinking. I don't naturally just think, oh, God will justify me. God will be the one who brings justice into this situation. But God makes us a new creation, and it says that we no longer live for ourselves, but we live for him who died for us. We live for Christ instead of ourselves. And the way that I find the illustration I find helpful to see this transformation is like a caterpillar that turns into a butterfly. Right. I like this illustration because for two reasons. The first reason is the caterpillar, he doesn't one day wake up and suddenly say, I think today is a good day to be a butterfly, and I'm going to be a butterfly today. I'm going to start that process today. But a caterpillar was designed and created by God, and God planned when this caterpillar would turn into a butterfly. Certain things have to happen in order for the caterpillar to be able to turn into a butterfly. He has to get enough nutrition. They probably have to get to a certain size before they can make themselves this cocoon. And it's like that for us. Many of us, most of us, don't one day just wake up and say, you know, today's a good day to be a Christian. Today I'm going to be a Christian. But no, that was all planned by God. God was working in our lives, giving us everything that we needed to make that decision to be a Christian. And the second thing about a caterpillar turning into a butterfly is that once the caterpillar becomes a butterfly, it doesn't one day suddenly reverse the process. It doesn't become a caterpillar again. Once a butterfly, always a butterfly. And that's the same of our Christian life. Once we have been reconciled to God and we become a Christian, we become a believer, we're a new creation. That sinful person that we were before doesn't exist. We shouldn't be able to go back and forth. Like, okay, Sunday I'll be a believer, Sunday I'll be a Christian, but, you know, Monday I'll be a sinner, right? It's not like a butterfly on Sunday, a caterpillar Monday through Saturday. It doesn't work like that. Once a butterfly, always a butterfly. Once you've been reconciled to God, once you are a believer, you're always a believer. The transforming work of God is complete in that sense. So once we've become this butterfly, once we've been reconciled to God, we live a new life. We have a new life. And this is how we live the new life. In verse 20, we are called ambassadors for Christ. And we are entrusted with two things. We're entrusted with the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. The message of reconciliation is everything that I've already talked about, where, you know, while we were still sinners, God saved us. He made us into a new creation where we no longer live in sin, but we live for Christ. And that message is for us. It's for the church. And as a church, we need to believe that God has done this for us. We may at times feel like it's hard to approach God, especially when we know we've done something wrong during the week. It feels like we've sinned and we can't go near to God because God doesn't want that. God doesn't want our sinfulness. We have to make ourselves right. We have to make ourselves pure before we can come to God. But no, that's wrong. It's the complete opposite. God actually desires for us to come in our brokenness, because it's in that moment that he can give us his grace, his forgiveness, and his love. Once we get this message of reconciliation, once we really believe it, then we can take part in the ministry of reconciliation. Of course, the first reconciliation has to happen between us and God. We need to be reconciled to God. But like I said, we've all been hurt by other people before. To be entrusted with this ministry of reconciliation is to go out and restore those relationships as well. So even though we may be the ones who were hurt, we can still take that first step to initiate reconciliation, much like God did. God was the one who was hurt first, but he was the one who chose to initiate reconciliation with us. And the world needs to know this. The world needs to know that there is this hope of reconciliation, that not everybody out there is there to hurt them. There is a hope. And they need to know that they need to be reconciled to God. Right before this passage that we looked at, Paul actually tells the Corinthian church that there's going to be a judgment. And we as believers, we know that there's going to be a final judgment when we will come before Jesus Christ. And he will either say, we are his, or he will say, I don't know you. Now, I want you to seriously think about the people in your life, those that don't know Christ. Do you know what fate is in store for them? It's not heaven. It's hell. If they have not been reconciled to God, they are living in a life of sin. It doesn't matter if everything they do on the outside is good, if they donate half their paychecks to charity, if they are doing community service every day, if they are not reconciled to God, if they are still living lives of sin, come the time of the judgment, Jesus will say, I never knew you. And they will be subject to eternal suffering in hell. As I reflect on that, I know that there are people in my life who need to hear this message of reconciliation, that I have a lot of work to do in the ministry of reconciliation. And that is what we are being called to in this passage. As ambassadors of Christ, we are entrusted to bring this message to people. But if you also look at the passage, you'll see how many times Christ appears. It's like everything is Christ-centered. And one of the most encouraging messages that Jesus Christ has ever given the church is that he will never leave nor forsake us. So that even as we are going out and we are proclaiming this message, Christ is right there with us. And we can have confidence because of that, that he is the one who has done the work already, that it's not anything that we have to do. We don't have to offer a step-by-step approach. Christ has already done it. God has already brought about reconciliation in the fullest sense. And so we can have confidence just to bring this message to people. So this week, I really pray that you would embrace this message of reconciliation for yourself. That you would look at your own life and see it as one that God sees so valuable, that he saved you, that he made you part of his family, that these people sitting around you are your brothers and sisters. And really sit in that. Think about the hope and the confidence that that gives you. And then after you've embraced this message, after you've cherished and treasured this message of reconciliation, share it with someone. Share it with someone who needs to hear that message. It could be someone in the church who's hurting. It could be someone who has never heard of Christ before. And as you share, remember to share the message in love. Not from a superior, I'm above you kind of sense. You know you're not really better than the person that you're sharing with. And they're not better than you. Both the message and the ministry belong to God. We are simply his ambassadors who have been entrusted to bring it forth into the world. And God has given us new life in Christ. So we ought to live like that. Would you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the new life that is promised, that you have given to us, that we can already take part of it, that we already have it with us. And you call us to leave our sinful ways of thinking, our old ways of thinking, and to come fully embrace our new creation, to fully embrace that we have been given new life, that we are to live for you. And God, what a privilege and joy it is to live for you. Because we know that you will give us everything that we need as we follow you. God, I pray that you would speak into our lives and show us someone or even multiple people in our lives that need to hear this ministry of reconciliation. That you may also even bring people into our mind that we need to reconcile with. Because we know that when there's a broken relationship, it's awkward, it's hard to be around the other person. And Lord, that's not how you want the church to be. That's not even how you want the world to be. You want us to be reconciled to you
and to one another. So Father, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us this week of how we can live out this new life that you've given us, and how we can continue to do so. And so Father, Lord, would you, as we sing our song of response, just really show us just how much we are like the clay, ready to be molded by you. No, we are in your hands. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.